Blog Talk Radio.
Live from the nation's capital, it's the Power of Poetics, the DC Poetry Project's open mic call-in show.
My name is Michael Anthony Ingram, and I'd like to welcome you to the Power of Poetics. This week is the first week of July. Actually, it's the first day of July. And I'd like to thank you, as always, for joining in. Each week, we take a trip around the world through our imagination, through the power that poetry can bring and build. We travel to places that only, again, our imaginations can build. We visit the good, bad, and indifferent of lives. And we often find comfort, solace, and truth as well as celebration in our words, so long live words. I'd like to begin tonight by reading a poem by Emma Mantle. It's called The Taste of Freedom. I got a taste of freedom. It lasted for a while. I got a glimpse of how it felt to see the sun and smile. It reminded me of who I was, someone I'd lost along the way. Felt good to step inside her head. Oh, how I wish that I could stay. But the black sky is getting darker. Clouds again to descend. And I go back to living numb with a smile that I pretend. With reluctance, I must step back to my cage once more. But now I feel the pain much greater as I watch its closing the door. So while I tasted freedom, it is something bittersweet. But now it's gone. The darkness feels heavy with defeat. I know that seems like a very melancholy poem to start off a show, but again, it's called The Taste of Freedom by Emma Mantle. So again, what I'd like you to do is to join in by calling us at 646-716-8754. This is The Power of Poetics, and we will be right back. My name is Michael Ingram with the Power Poetics. I want to thank all of you out there in listening land for joining in every week. Our listening audience continues to grow. And there is someone on the line now who would hopefully like to join in tonight. Maybe they're a listener. Maybe they're a person who's going to call in. But we'll see. Hold on 1 second. Good evening, area code 858. Are you there?
Hello. Hello. Good evening.
Hello.
Just listening in. Hello,
all right.
Kofi. Thank you
well,
for
you
the
know,
show. Thank you for the show.
Yes, if you didn't listen in, are among our thousands of listeners from around the country who tune in every week. And we also have an international audience. We have clientele, people in Pakistan and Bangladesh who also tune in every week. So, again, I want to thank you, Kofi. And I'll take you off the speakerphone, and you can just listen in. Is that okay?
Sure, thank you.
All right, my friend. Always a blessing.
It's always a pleasure. Thank you very much.
All right. Let's take Kofi off the speakerphone. Let's see. Well, if I can't, Kofi, just be quiet in the background, okay?
Okay,
got you. All right. You know, I've really had an interest in the poems by Hafiz, the great Sufi master, and as I've read through his works, which were translated by Daniel Ladinsky, and again, he lived 1320 to 1389, and he's the most beloved poet in Persia. He's incredibly insightful, extremely profound, and on top of that, just an interesting person all the way around. And here's a piece, and throughout the course of tonight's show, I plan to share several pieces by Hafiz. But this is one called Turn Left 1,000 Feet From Here. What I really want to give you, I can't. Yet all day long I tried painting maps on the sky with bright, tender sounds that say, turn left 1,000 feet from here, just past the next hill. Then make a sharp right as soon as you see the big rock. That looks like an egg. There you will find a decent tavern. I am like a wise friend if you come close to me. I will write down the address of the woman who will ravish you most. Hafiz never wants to offend. So in everything I say, you can always freely switch the gender. Come close to me. I will whisper in your ear a secret about the one who has made us all nuts. Thought that was a humorous piece. Here's another called The Ambiance of Love. We all sit in his orchestra. Some play their fiddles. Some wield their clubs. Tonight is worthy of music. Let's get loose with compassion. Let's drown in the delicious ambience of love. One last one called Tired of Speaking Sweetly. Love wants to reach out and manhandle us, break all our teacup talk of God. If you had the courage and could give the beloved his choice, some nights he would just drag you around the room by your hair, ripping you from the grip of all the toys in the world that bring you no joy. Love sometimes gets tired of speaking sweetly and wants to rip to shreds all your erroneous notions of truth. Truth that makes you fight within yourself, dear one, and with others, causing the world to weep on too many fine days. God wants to manhandle us, lock us inside a tiny room with himself, and practice his drop kick. The beloved sometimes wants to do us a favor, hold us upside down and shake all the nonsense out. But when we hear he is in such a playful, drunken mood, most everyone I know quickly packs their bags and hightails it out of the room. Wow, that's a powerful piece. And I'll come back to pieces by Hafiz as we continue this journey tonight. Again, this is The Power of Poetics, and as people sign in, again, our listening audience is growing, so what I'd like to do is to bring a gentleman in that you all know. He's from Huntsville, Alabama, the one and only Gary Wingdog Malone. Hold on 1 second, please. Good evening,
what's up,
Gary.
Mike?
How are you, sir?
I'm
doing
wonderful.
Well. And yourself? You doing well?
What? Yeah,
doing
I'm
wonderful?
Good, man.
Hey, that's good. That's good to hear. That's good to hear. Welcome again to The Power of Poetics, and you've been with us, I say this almost every week, since the very beginning. So, again, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Kofi, too, for being with us from the very beginning. So, do you have any poems to share? What's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Yeah, I got a poem I would like to share. This piece is called, it's called Beautiful Nowheres.
Okay.
And, I would like to share it. I wrote it Monday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow.
Good. Yeah, Sunday, after I seen the title of a song of a Kenny Lattimore CD that I was listening to, he had a song called Beautiful Nowheres. And I was like, man, I like that title, you know, just the title of that song. But anyway, I said, I'm gonna write a poem with that same title. So here's my take on his title.
All right.
Where are we going? Relax, baby girl. We're about to catch this falling star and explore uncharted territories. Like Lewis and Clark, travel to destinations unknown, romantic escapades. We can go wherever our hearts lead us expeditiously. Like, let's sail the mythical seven seas on a luxurious yacht to Fantasy Island. Escape to the soft side of love, a paradise secret garden of happiness and bliss. Or we can cruise the super information highway on a convertible, in a convertible Maybach, off to exotic places, nothing but smiling faces. With a Ray-Ban in effect to block the sun rays to protect your pretty eyes, let your silky hair blow in the wind. You can laugh while chased by the paparazzi, like two stars checking out of a five-star inn that we found on booking.com. Yeah. Then let's climb a spiraling crystal staircase to the heavens where dreams come true. Mental realities that shatter the imagination and creativity knows no boundaries. You can think and wonder like Alice did in Wonderland. Or maybe we can float on a motley-hued rainbow, just you and I, a motley crew, listening to the soundtrack of life. Poetry wrapped up in the disguise of R&B, gospel, jazz, hip-hop, country, pop, rock, rolling, and the blues. Smooth blending together to make a smoothie of poetic neo-soul. And we can sip refreshing cocktails of euphoria, nirvana, and utopia. Shake and stirred and serve chilled on the rocks. And speaking of rocks, let's soar on the wings of love to rocky mountaintops, where we can dance between the raindrops while hiking happy trails winding through an enchanted tropical rainforest, an abstract jungle filled with concrete ideas and moments that's bigger than the Egyptian pyramids. Baby, let me take you on a magic carpet ride, chauffeured by your very own personal genie, and give you a Michael Kors bag full of unlimited wishes. How about we stroll hand in hand down Lover's Lane that's near Memory Lane and make precious, cherished memories to frame in our daydreams? And then we can walk the tracks of my tears that I happily cried being here with you. Then tomorrow, I will take you back to today so we can have just as much fun as we did yesterday in the never, never land of beautiful nowheres. Now, baby girl, do you still want to go?
Gary, man, you bad boy. You are truly incredible. I'm not going to tell you that anymore. That's the last time I'm going to say it. That's the very... I've been telling you that for 39 weeks.
I mean, like, and each time you tell me, I mean, like, you know, it's not... I don't know. I mean,
Just say thank you. You can spit some words like nobody I've heard. That's why I'm glad you're part of the DC Poetry Project family, bro. Oh, man.
I mean, I appreciate your compliments, but I take it all with the utmost modesty and humbleness because it just, I mean, you listening to it, me writing,
right.
I guess perspective on it is just, you know, but I don't know if you're wrong, no, I thank you, but it just be, to me, it just be, it's I do it out of the essence of my soul, and
right,
you know, it just comes out, and I Yes, I agree. If I had to, if I heard it or read it somewhere else, I would think it was a beautiful piece. So I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't undermine my gifts, but it's not with an arrogance either, you know, or conceit.
Right. Oh yeah, of course. I mean, we know that after 45, 42, 39 weeks, man, we know that your essence, your character, your way of being. You know, you're a good man. You don't need to say that. Let me say this.
Huh?
What sounded like to me was a lot of longing. Am I correct?
A lot of what?
Longing.
Yes.
Desire.
Yes.
Talk about that a second. Tell me more about that. It was just so mellow. It was beautiful yet still sad in a way. Kind of melancholy.
Yeah, and I would agree. I would agree because I am, and that come out of a conversation that was a young lady that we had lunch Sunday after church, and she asked me, "Where are we going?" You know, and I never did answer that question, and when I got home, I put in this Kenny Lattimore CD, and I was listening to it. And the very last, when I got ready to put the CD up, I happened to look on the back cover, and it says "Beautiful Nowheres," and that's what I was like. Well, man, that's what I wish. I wish I had a toll of that. That's where I want to take you, because they asked me where I'm. I don't know. I don't want to have no preset destination. How about let's just go?
Right.
And when I saw that title, and these places came to mind, they are abstract or make-believe places. That was the theme of that song, going to, you know, the essence of his song is when he drives out, he gets stressed, he drives out, and he goes to this place, you know, just beautiful nowhere. It's just what he said. And it ain't had, it was totally different from this. And when I said, this is why I would like to take a lady, but I don't have that lady in my life that to go with me to these places. So that's where the melancholy come in. But the beauty and the the desire and wanting to visit these places and be in these places is there, but I don't have that special one to take there. So that's where the melancholy come in.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I know the feeling. Well, like I said, those are words that rang out to me, you know, those beautiful nowheres. That's beautiful. I mean, what else can I say? What else can I say? We have another call. I'd like to bring this person in. Hold on 1 second here. Area code 301, the first letter or number is 3. Welcome to the Power of Poetics. You're on the air.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Sophia.
Hello. Sophia, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Great. It's always good to hear your voice. You're on the air with Gary and I, and do you have a poem you'd like to share? What brought you back tonight?
Well, I recently finished a poetry course I was taking. That was
taking
up quite a bit of time. And I just wanted to kind of call in and get inspired and kind of reconnect and instead of writing for a deadline, just kind of
write
some more.
Well,
time.
I won't put you on the spot just yet. I'll give you just a second to get situated, and as you know, we always take a break, and we'll come right back. All right, this is the Power of Poetics.
All right.
Pretty little baby breaks the surface of a big blue pill, water cascading down her white swimming suit in tiny torrents of sunlit dew. She's putting on a show for them. Their scaly snouts sit above the surface of the pool. Their heavily lidded eyes watch her hungrily. Her new breasts are hidden beneath padded cuffs and drawstrings are tied in bows at her hips. She hates her breasts. She hates her hips like fruit ripening with risk, like fish pulling her toward choppy tides. She is told that she should now behave a certain way, like a woman, they say. She donates her boy shorts to Goodwill, along with her bicycle helmet, her plastic dinosaurs, and her Converse shoes. She bleaches her hair, she puts gloss on her lips, and she lathers her body in Bain de Soleil, lying beneath the sun like a sugar-coated ham. The crocodiles are watching her, and they are starving. She flicks through her camera, deleting photographs of herself that she dislikes, telling herself, "You are not enough." And she feeds herself to the crocodiles. But why? Human beings are not a species who sit idly in the water. It is not within our nature to submit ourselves as prey. No, it is not within our nature at all. She was taught this. You mustn't blame her. It isn't her fault. She was only trying to behave a certain way, like a woman who lies flat while bacteria-laden teeth feast upon her flesh, infecting her with hate, confirming her belief that she is not enough. But one day, pretty little baby breaks the surface of a big blue pill, shaking off the crocodiles and planting herself on land where she will grow like a winter flower, blooming despite defeating elements. And she will learn to love her breasts, where they nourish her child with milk, and she will learn to love her hips, where they cradled her womb while her child grew within it. And she will learn that those crocodiles are never satiated while she is ever full. And she will tell her daughter, "Pretty little baby, I have raised you like a woman, far from the water, far from the starving. And when you see the crocodiles, you will come to your mother, and we will laugh at them."
That was "Like a Woman" by Annabel Finn. It was a beautiful piece to me, just in terms of her message. Gary, Sophia, what did you hear in that piece, if you could hear it? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yes. What did you hear in Miss Finn's piece called "Like a Woman"?
I saw the beauty of women, and it was so it was such a smooth groove. I just saw the essence of woman in that piece. I really thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yes.
I really. I don't know. It just took me. I just saw the essence of woman and woman in all her goodness and greatness and the preciousness of who she is. That's what I saw in it.
Sophia, I want to put you on the spot. Any words about Ms. Finn's piece?
Yeah, I would definitely have to agree with Gary. It felt very... it definitely felt like she was kind of speaking as the representative. You know, when someone like says something and it resonates so much with you, and it's like, yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. That's how I'm feeling. That's where I am. And so I felt very much like that with her piece.
Well, I viewed it too as being a piece around empowerment, to embrace yourself in terms of who you are as you are. And that line, and I can't really remember correctly, but about the crocodiles, how the crocodiles are resting or waiting or something like that. I felt that was extremely powerful. So what I try to do is to pick pieces. There are thousands of pieces of poetry out there, and what I'll try to do each week as we continue is just pick pieces that we can talk about and process as we share our own work, but also include the works of others from around the nation. So, again, everyone, this is The Power of Poetics. There's another person on the line. I'd like to bring this person in. Hold on 1 second here. The area code is 301, and the first number is 2. You're on the air tonight.
Hello, this is Angela. How is everybody?
Hello, Angela. Is this Angela?
This is the Angela, yes.
Oh,
I know. It's
welcome.
Been a while. It's been a while.
That's all right. That's all right. Welcome back to The Power of Poetics.
Thank you. It's glad to be back. How is everybody?
Yes. Yes. How's everybody?
I'm good.
Good.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Sophia. Did I pronounce that right? I think it's, did Michael say Sophia?
Sophia, yes.
Okay. Sophia. Hi, Sophia. How are you?
Well, wow.
Wow. It's good to hear your voice.
It's good to be here. I've missed you guys. So, yeah, I came in on the tail end of that piece, and it was deep. I was like, wow, what is this? But
yeah.
It was good. It was good. It
yes,
actually,
it's called.
You know, go ahead.
No, please.
No, I was just thinking that it was such a nice way to come back to the sound mm-hmm. of poetry. Like, you know, not saying that hearing you all's voice in the presence of you isn't as welcoming, but it was nice to come in and just be listening to poetry right away because I've missed you all and just the art form. So yeah, glad
right.
to be back.
Great. Hopefully we've grown as a radio show in terms of the kind of things that we attempt to do in terms of sharing. So we've come a very long way, and we've come a long way with good people around us, just like yourself. We knew you were not here in person, but I felt you were always here in spirit. So, again, it's good to hear your voice.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
All right. Sophia, are you ready?
Sure.
All right.
Can you? are you able to hear me okay?
Yes.
All right. So this piece that I'm going to share is entitled The Debt. As they grow young and we grow old, we face criminalization coupled with the humiliation of knowing better. Left with an impossible choice for those who have no voice, yet so many vocalize their truths on his or her behalf. Here now, counting the days and doing the math, counting on fate while we wait for others to tell us when late is too late. Now my body is on the docket, and I'm waiting to see what I owe on this debt, wondering why my obligation is before this forum, and whom do I really owe? Myself, those around, or those to come? And is it all of us or just some? Knowing I owe myself a break and that everyone makes mistakes, knowing I owe the one who should have the chance to be here in this world, happy and healthy, though still not knowing the real cost and whether I can pay them. And that is the piece.
All right. And the title again?
The title is The Debt.
The Debt.
Yeah. I guess just a
talk
little bit of background. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah, I was going to say, talk about your inspiration.
Sure. So this was actually a piece that I wrote from a prompt that was a part of a course that I just recently finished. And the prompt was to write about something that was controversial.
Mm-hmm.
And so I decided to write about abortion.
Mm.
And I used the idea of abortion to write this piece about the debt, because I think that when you do have to make choices like that, someone is owed something. There is some debt that you have to pay, and it really is a matter of figuring out what it is and how you're going to handle it.
Very powerful statement. So someone is owed a debt, and you need to figure out how to, I guess, like you said again, to manage it, to maneuver around it, or to pay it. I guess for
yep.
me, as I thought about that piece, you know, I guess because that's the power of poetry, I heard so many different things in it. I did not think about abortion. I thought about what was happening in the African-American community in terms of what occurred in Charleston, what's occurring now in terms of these fires. You know, supposedly, you know, they've been places was being struck by lightning, but you never know. the things that are just happening to black people that about the debt that people need to pay. Others, what are your thoughts?
Interesting.
Gary?
Well, this is Angela.
Angela.
Hold on 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, I'm actually trying to grab a bite to eat, and the food I was eating was just a little too spicy. I, too, like you, Michael, thought about I thought about what was happening in the African-American community, and then actually went worldwide. So I started there, but then, you know, I just went to just the average, well, not the average, but just your everyday person, regardless of skin color and ethnicity. You know, what are you owed? Like, what are you doing to give back? So it was really, and it was so many lines that I found myself saying, whoa, wow. And yet, when you said abortion, I was like, oh, yeah. Like, I was trying to revisit those same lines in my head that made me go, wow, for another reason. And it was like, yeah, I could, that applies. Yeah, I could see that. So it was very powerful, very, very deep.
Yeah, beautiful, beautiful. Gary, any comments from you, sir?
Well, I was wondering what inspired her to write that piece. And see, I never even thought it came from the direction that she wrote it from. But it was very inspiring, very powerful, thought-provoking piece.
Very thought-provoking. And again, that's why the interpretation of poetry is so different for different people. I mean, we all have our own lived experiences, and we all take from things what are based on what we know about, you know, or what we may have experienced. So, I mean, that's why I like that. That was beautiful. Thank you, Safia. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening.
Are you there? All right. Angela, would you like to share? Or I can take a little commercial break and come right back. You know, our breaks are still very short.
I would appreciate the commercial break, and I think I would just like to sit at you all's feet this evening and just listen. I don't think I would like to recite tonight. Unless I move later, I'm going to let you guys just...
All right. All right, then. Hey, we're just glad you're here. All right, then.
I'm glad to be here, so thank you.
Good. What I'd like to do is to share a piece that was written by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. And it's called A Psalm of Life. And he lived 1807 to 1882. And it's something like this. Tell me not in mournful numbers, life is but an empty dream. For the soul is dead that slumbers, and things are not what they seem. Life is real, life is earnest, and the grave is not its goal. Dust thou art, to dust returneth, was not spoken of the soul. Not enjoyment and not sorrow is our destined end or way, but to act that each tomorrow finds us farther than today. Art is long, and time is fleeting, and our hearts, though stout and brave, still like muffled drums are beating funeral marches to the grave. In the world's broad field of battle, in the bivouac of life, be not like dumb driven cattle. Be a hero in the strife. Trust no future, however pleasant. Let the dead past bury its dead. Act in the living present, heart within and God overhead. Lives of great men all remind us we can make our lives sublime. And departing, leave behind us footprints on the sands of time. Footprints that perhaps another, sailing over life's solemn main, a forlorn and shipwrecked brother, seeing shall take heart again. Let us then be up and doing, with a heart for any fate, still achieving, still pursuing, learn to labor and to wait. Has anyone heard that before?
I haven't, and I really like that.
I mean, I think there's some, you know, I need to drink a water too, some of the lines, such as footprints on the sands of time, that reminds me of Footprints, you know, that poem. Well, again, he's a very famous poet, and he lived from 1807 to 1882. And he's one of the people that we learn about in some poetry classes, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's take just a short little break, and we'll come back. Gary, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm here from, yeah.
Okay. Okay, buddy. You're up next, all right?
Okay.
All right, sir. Angela, again, we do not speak during the breaks, as you know, if you remember, even though we all know that you can talk during
the
breaks. I just wanted to remind you that we do not speak during the break. And the music motivator is still the same. Our listeners over in Taiwan, they like that music. So they called me specifically and said, Michael, please continue to take those short 30-second breaks, because when you take those breaks, we know you'll be right back.
Nice.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Can we talk now?
All right. Hey, that's right. You can talk now. You can talk now.
Okay.
Hey, Gary, man. In Alabama, you're on, my friend.
All right, this piece is called Stray Bullets from a Shotgun Mine. It's a little lengthy, but I'll try to make it not too hard.
No, just share your truth, man. Share your truth.
I ask myself, what do I need to maximize my potential? And thoughts started popping off. I said, give me liberty, but don't give me death. Give me life, a reality with a healthy dose of health. Give death to ignorance, hatred, and violence, cancer, hypertension, diabetes, and other diseases that kills in silence. Give me a shotgun that shoots only words, targeted at the brains of young boys and girls, aim to broaden their vocabulary, and to give them an education that's more than secondary. Misconception, deception, I don't want none. Give me some Novocaine that this pain I can numb. Suffer from an abusive mind and hands. Being mean to your own seed, to this day I don't understand. But give investigators all the facts to locate every missing child and to solve every cold case file. And give me daddy so I can give to every fatherless child. And give me back my days of a mischievous juvenile so I can trade them all in for more opportunities to make my mama smile. Give my thought process the electric chair. As I sit and think, staring death in the eye, give the grinning reaper my fears and then let me watch him cry. Give me the word bitch and dog with a positive meaning. But until then, may it only describe our four-legged friends, never to define my beautiful sisters or brothers in any way that's demeaning. Oh, wait, snap, hold up. Give me some style, grace, and class. To pour in these reality hosts, oops, excuse me, I mean divas. Then maybe these desperate housewives would quit doing these whack reality shows. Now, not to be hypocritical, I know I call myself Wing Dog, but be patient with me and give me the time for these verbal bullets to penetrate my shotgun mind. Pow! Another one went off. Give me the profit that BP is making off these gas prices. Why? So I can quit playing the lottery. No, I'm just kidding. But really, though, sometimes I can be a bit selfish and just want to live licensed. But give me Bill Gates' wallet and Robin Hood's mentality so I can help all those that live in poverty. And then give me the gift of venom Give my gift the venom of a king cobra that's highly lethal, the heart of a lion and the wings of a bald eagle. So when I step to a mic, prejudice attitude, my spit would kill, and my floor may roll, making these poetry soar. And as the voice of reason, reload my cerebral shotgun with hot bullets to implant into American conscience. Pow, pow, pow. Give me a vision laced with the wisdom of a serpent, that I may be wise as a snake but harmless as a dove, creating a platform to spread a holy message with divine love. And then give me a prayer and a wish, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, some tartar sauce or some Kraft mayo, so I can feed the homeless a miracle sandwich. And then give me weapons of mass destruction, like bombs of joy and missiles of peace, so that all this senseless killing would come to a cease. And then give me justice for Trayvon and Emmett, and equal rights for all women. And then I want revenge for Troy Davis and Tookie, and arrest warrant to serve to the murders of Tupac and Biggie. And then give me a shot of Jill Scott Heron that I may start a poetic revolution with a big black fist so I can lead a pride of Leo Katz and spark another Black Panther movement. And then just maybe all these trifling brothers would pull their pants up, put their fists up, stop killing one another, and step their game up. And then give me another sunrise, the dawning of a new day, another reason to thank my Jehovah for providing a better way. And then give me that beautiful sunset that I may sit at Jesus' feet and rest. And then give me life, liberty, and health. But just don't give me any bullshit nor disrespect, or any other nonsense that may cause your death. See, I know now just what I need to maximize my potential and to diffuse all this anger and madness. Give me more of God and less of self. See, these are just a stray bullet from a shotgun mine. I hope I didn't hurt nobody. Only self. That's it.
Wow.
That was awesome, Gary.
It really was.
I like the play on words. That was really, really awesome.
Thank you.
Sometimes there are no words to say. Sometimes poems need to just stand on their own without any kind of secondary commentary. You know?
Amen.
I hadn't read that piece in so long. As a matter of fact, I only read it. This is my second time even reading. I wrote it in 2012, and as I was reading through all these things, thoughts just came back to my mind, and it took me to a whole place, especially with all the stuff that's going on now. You know, I was like, wow, it just put me in a whole. I'm just like,
You're ahead of your time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think a piece like that is, all, you know, unfortunately, always relevant.
Exactly.
Always.
And that's always the sad part, that is that this could have been read 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and I hope by then, 30 years from now, things would change, but it just seems like the way the nation is heading, it would be just as relevant 30 years from now. You know, and that's what's sad to me about it, because it don't seem like this, the little progress that we have made as a nation is something that always take us back, you know, shed us back.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the church bombing. I saw the senseless killing in South Carolina. I saw so many things when I was reading it. It just put me in a.
Here's one real quick one, and again, this is by Hafiz, and he's the great Sufi master. And he said it's called God's Bucket. If this world was not held in God's bucket, how could an ocean stand upside down on its head and never lose a drop? If your life is not contained in God's cup, How could you be so brave and laugh? Wow. How could you be so brave and laugh, dance in the face of death? There is a private chamber in the soul that knows a great secret, of which no tongue can speak. Your existence, my dear, oh love, my dear, has been sealed and marked, too sacred by the beloved to ever end. Indeed, God has written 1,000 promises all over your heart that say life, life, life is far too sacred to ever end. And that was written in 1300.
That's sweet.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, I don't know. If this world was not held in God's bucket, what would we do with all the chaos around us?
You know, I had an interesting thought. You make me think about it as I listened to your piece. When I got home earlier, I was, and I promise you, I'm going to make a point. Maybe this is my poem that I'm sharing in essay style. But I was sweeping the leaves and stuff that, you know, had fallen from last night's storm. And I was just thinking about how, like, I slept upstairs in my son's room, which I don't do a whole lot, but because I did, I could hear the storm a lot louder than I normally would, because I sleep in the basement of my home. So it was really, you know, just kind of deafening. And then I could see the lightning, and so the room was lighting up. And so as I was sweeping my sidewalk, you know, I was thinking about Romans 8:28, and how, you know, it says that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And it made me start thinking about, you know, just storms in our lives and how He works all of those together, and, you know, no matter what. And then I started thinking about, you know, just the physical storm of last night and how, you know, oftentimes we want to take cover and shelter, and sometimes we complain about, you know, the rain and the loudness, and, you know, more often than not, I hear people make negative comments about, you know, physical storms as opposed to positive comments. And I just started thinking about last night's storm again, and that, and then just the application of that to life, that the same way He brings us out of, you know, the various storms in our lives, He's taking care of us through these physical storms, despite what might, you know, happen that looks negative on the outside. Because as I was awakened several times last night, you know, my great grandmother used to always tell me that, you know, when it was thundering and lightning, that was God's way of talking. I don't know if there's any truth in that, because I don't recall ever seeing anything in Scripture. But so I just always think about, oh, so what is God saying? Is He mad? Is He, you know, what's up with Him? But then I just started thinking as I was sweeping the sidewalk that, you know, there's no need to take cover in these physical storms, because the same way He works the storms out in our lives, He's working that storm out. He's doing some cleansing. He's moving some stuff around. But He's taking care of stuff, you know. And so you reminded me of my thought process kind of last night or in the middle of the night, and as well as when I was sweeping the steps, that, you know, without Him, where would we be? You know, so that would be my piece that I'm sharing tonight, ad lib.
All right. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. Safia, would you like to share another piece of poetry?
Sure. So, let's see, turning my iPad back on.
All right.
So this next piece is entitled The Other Side of Things. I lifted myself out of the hard wooden chair, bruised and battered from years of use. My head hangs low as I scoot in between each combination of front of person, back of chair, passing by the backs of a long row of heads. I hear loud chairs of woo-hoo an enthusiastic applause. I pause, but just for a second, allowing my eyes to roll to the left and then to the right. I catch a glimpse of what seemed to be a thousand silent heroes sweeping me away like the wind, carrying me on their shoulders, headed to my destiny. The next thing I knew, I was sitting in a chair in my living room, holding a beautifully molded object of glass and wood. I reminisced, and it reminded me that even though it didn't feel like it at that time, it wasn't worth it. Nice.
Wow. Sometimes, you know, if it sounds like I'm at a loss for words, sometimes I am, and I just want to just sit back and savor the moment and listen to the poets, to people share. I mean, a piece like that one. Would you like to share about your inspiration, or you just want to keep on going?
No, I'll share about my inspiration.
All right.
This is also from a, so this piece was also out of a prompt to write a piece that takes a turn at the end. And so my thought process behind this piece is that this person is getting this award, and they're kind of reminiscing on when they were able to collect this award, and, you know, all of the good and positive things about it in that moment in time. And then they have this moment where they realize that though that happened, that's not the whole reality of the situation. It's like that's what it looked like to them, but they know, this person knows the truth, and they know what they had to do to get that accolade. And if the other people knew what this person had to do, they would not be doing all of that, the cheering and the applause. And, you know, this person has to really sit with that and live with that.
So the person had to do something that was the person did something that was negative that people
Correct.
Didn't know about.
Correct.
There's a twist. Oh, I like those props. We need to start using those.
Yeah. Interesting props.
Those props are deep.
Yeah. They know,
wow.
Michael.
Hey, what was the prompt again?
I said. No, go ahead.
What was the prompt?
The prompt was to write a piece that takes a turn at the end.
To take a what?
That takes a turn at the end.
Oh, okay.
That sounds like you, Gary. Sounds like something right up your alley, man. To write a poem
mm-hmm.
where there's a turn mm-hmm. at the very end of it. To flip everybody on his head.
Exactly.
Wow.
Hey, I got a question. When Angela was talking about the storm, and she said, you know, when God was speaking out of the storm, and she said, you know, I've always heard that too, that when we was told when it was raining or something, to be quiet because God is talking. Well, that may the biblical revelation may have come from Job chapter 38 verse 1. And this is after Job was questioning God. And
mm-hmm.
in the beginning of chapter 31, it said, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said." So that may be from the that may be where that's coming from. That always, because I always heard that too. to be still. And when I heard when you said that, I remember reading that when God spoke out of that whirlwind, and
mm-hmm.
and that was. So that might be where that biblical base comes from, that God speaking on the storm.
Thank you, Gary. I'm going to look that up.
It's in Job chapter 38, okay. verse 1. And this is
okay.
after Job was talking to his friend, and after he had questioned God and everything, and then God answered him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I remember several weeks ago, they did this spiritual poetry program, Give Me Something to Believe In. And on that particular program, Gary was the only one to call in. So for the other 50 minutes, I was by myself, and I had to just find poems to read back to back to back. And then it started thundering about, I guess maybe it was about 50 minutes into the show. So I said to everyone who was listening out there, I said, God is doing his work, and I need to sign off now. So I did it for two reasons. One, I had run out of things to say. And secondly, I was so glad that it was time.
You were so glad God was speaking, huh?
That God was speaking.
Thank you, Lord.
The Lord did that for me. For 15 minutes. You remember, Gary, when
wow.
you were on air with me? Nobody call in for Gary.
Wow.
Oh,
sorry,
boy.
Michael.
That's all right. That taught me a very valuable lesson to always have at least 75 poems with me at all times. Because you never know when the line will be silent. I mean, I was so glad that it started thundering and lightning. You would not believe it.
Wow.
And I told people in Taiwan, I said, well, in Washington, D.C., I told them, I said, you know, I heard as a child that you're supposed to turn off everything when the Lord.
Yeah.
So I bid everyone adieu.
Yeah, that's exactly what I heard as a kid, too. And it always comes to mind when I hear a storm.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, because
yeah.
I think there's a storm watch tonight that lasts until 11:30, I believe.
Well, all right. I guess we should say good night and let God do his work.
God do his work. There is a flash flood warning that is in place until 11:30 tonight. The National Weather Service. So,
well, good people. It has been a pleasure.
We've only got 2 minutes left.
I'm just kidding. It
no,
really
well,
has
maybe you might
nice
be right. Well, hey, let's leave tonight by listening to someone who's not a member of the DC Poetry Project. How does that sound?
That's cool. Hey,
person,
yeah, I got to go.
Okay.
But I
Take
enjoyed
care,
the
Gary.
Show. Thank you for
Bye,
everything.
Bye, Gary.
Bye, Gary.
All right, bye-bye. Y'all have a good night. Mike, I'll talk to you later. Y'all have a good one, okay?
All right, my friend.
You
Take
too.
Care. Take
Thank
care.
You.
Well, we're going to leave with this poem tonight. It's by a person who's anonymous. It's called Love is Dead.
Okay.
Men and women. You can't live with them, and you can't live without them. It all started with an Eve and an Adam. They ate some fruit and knocked some boots, and the rest was history. But underneath that special tree, a word is born. L-O-V-E. Today, love is still around. It's hard to find, but can be found. I believe in true love. I believe in love at first sight. Now, others may and others might use these words for wrong or right to tell your spouse you will for life or get that girl for just one night. As a child, you're taught to love and respect. Once you're grown, it's fuck the love, I'm drunk and I want to have sex from one to the next and so on and so forth. We're ruining what the word love used to stand for, a connection. Nowadays, marriage lasts about as long as Milli Vanilli did. Is chivalry really dead? If so, I'm praying for its resurrection. I'm not asking for perfection, but it all starts with the person in your reflection. So this is my closing statement for the ones who strive to make it and the lonely ones who hate it. It's not about who you can get naked and how far you can take it. It's about two souls connecting in such a way that you smile every time you hear their name. Take a chance on love. You'll be surprised what you find. Doesn't come with any warnings, a siren, or a sign. It's a feeling you get deep inside when you lock eyes with that special person in your life. With that being said, I bid you a good night.
Well, with that being said, I bid you both, Angela and Sophia, a good night. And I want to thank everybody out there for tuning in to the Power Poetics. We'll be back next week. Take care, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.
Night.